turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us right now through your word. I pray we would hear the message that you have for each one of us today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I want to start by thanking the children and youth and leaders for the Christmas play from last week. Thank you, first of all, for all of your hard work and for bringing all of that together in just a really a strange month. It must have been really difficult, and we just want to thank you for the fun that you brought last week. But really, what I want to thank you the most about is for helping me with my sermon today. Because the message of the play last week helped me to see something in a fresh way about the Christmas story. For those of you who may be listening in, who didn't see it last week, the play opened with Selah Berkey's character asking her mom what it would have been like if Jesus was born in 2020. And then she lay down in her bed and she had a dream about what it would be like if Jesus was born in the year 2020. So in the dream, Mary finds out that she is pregnant over a Zoom call with her doctor, where she finds out that she's negative for COVID but positive for pregnancy. Joseph gets visited by an angel while watching a woodworking show on Netflix. The shepherds were delivering pizzas. The wise men sent their gifts via Zoom, and there was no room at the inn, I mean Bethlehem Memorial Hospital, because all the beds were taken because of COVID. All right, so you get the picture. If you weren't there, you kind of get the picture of the message of that play. The new thing for me about the way this Christmas story was told last week was that it reminded me that Joseph and Mary were literally minding their own business, and God showed up and turned everything upside down. We are so used to our nativity pictures. We're so used to the coziness of that scene, scenes with Mary and Joseph maybe with halos over their head. We're so used to them as characters in a story that it's easy to forget that they were two young people minding their business, excited to get married, people who had hopes and dreams for their lives, and all of that changed. They were doing the typical things that a young man and woman would do at that time, spending time with family and friends, going about their lives. Joseph was some sort of carpenter or woodworker or tradesman trying to make a living. They were godly people seeking the Lord in prayer and in worship. Joseph and Mary were normal people minding their own business, and God showed up. And when God showed up, it caused a lot of disruption to the normal business of life that they were planning. And not only disruption, but a whole lot of pain and trouble too. It's important for us to notice that when God showed up and called them to this very new thing, that he didn't tell them that now everything is going to be safe and secure and peaceful in your life. He showed up and said that their life is about to be incredibly disrupted. This is the hard thing about the Christmas stories that we read in the Bible. Everyone loved candlelight services. All of us holding candles and singing Silent Night and Holy Night. We love that part. I love that part. And that declaration of the angels, hark, the herald angels sing that peace on earth. In a year like we've had, we need to hear that message. Peace on earth. That Jesus has come to bring peace, to bring shalom, that all will be well. And to know that in the troubles that we face in this life, that we can trust that he is here, that he is at work, and that all will be well, that all will be at peace. But as I said a couple weeks ago, we can't experience true peace by pretending that our troubles aren't real. In our relationship with Christ, we are promised a peace that surpasses understanding. That doesn't mean that we ignore or pretend that our troubles aren't real. We aren't given a peace that ignores understanding. We're given a peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, we're given a peace that understands how real our trouble and our pain really are, and that we can be at peace in that pain and in that trouble, knowing that God is at work and he's greater than our trouble. The Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew, it does not hide or ignore the trouble and the pain that Joseph and Mary, and then in chapter 2, that thousands of other people were about to experience. To read the Christmas stories in the Gospel of Matthew and to imagine what it was like is to see that when God showed up in Joseph and Mary's life, that things got harder, not easier. And when you read the Gospel of Matthew, it's clear that these stories are stories of disruption and inconvenience and filled with all sorts of trouble and all sorts of pain. But in all of that, Mary and Joseph surrendered to God. They said yes to him. They were obedient to the word that he spoke to them. Their focus was on God and not on the disruption. Their focus was on God and not on the disruption. Consider Joseph. Mary comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Joseph knew that the baby wasn't his. And remember, when he finds out this news, he doesn't know the rest of the story like we do. And not only that, but Joseph has not yet heard from an angel about the truth of things. And people back then knew as well as anyone where babies come from. We don't know what Mary told him, but whatever she tried to tell him, it would have been unbelievable to him. So we need to remember that Joseph is a heartbroken and disappointed young man. But the Bible tells us that Joseph was a righteous man and a man who obviously loves Mary. And he does the right and noble thing. He makes the best of a bad situation and he decides to divorce Mary quietly. He doesn't want to shame her. Under Jewish law, he could have had her stoned to death. But even in his heartbreak, he does what is best for Mary and decides in his mind to divorce her quietly. And then, after going through all that turmoil, after going through all that incredibly difficult decision, only after, the Bible says, after he had considered this, an angel came to him and told him the truth of things. Think about that. God, why not send the angel before he had to go through all that mess and that worry and that anxiety? Why not tell Joseph before he had to go through all that heartbreak and all that grief? God, if you're going to go to the trouble of sending an angel to Joseph, why not do it at a time that would spare Joseph that pain? After he had considered this, God sent an angel to him. This is an important thing for us to remember. It's not God's first priority to spare you from pain. I'm sure that God protects us from pain in all sorts of ways in the spiritual world and in the physical world that we're not aware of. I'm sure that he protects us in ways that we just do not know about and will not know about until eternity. But it's not his first priority to spare us from pain. His first priority is to make you more like Jesus. His first priority is to make you holy. His first priority is to teach you to trust him. And this is a hard thing to hear. It's a hard thing to accept that God's first priority is not to keep us from pain and trouble. But we see very clearly in the way that God deals with Joseph and the timing and the order of it all that it wasn't God's first priority to spare Joseph from pain and trouble. And it's not his first priority to spare us from trouble. He had other things in mind for Joseph. Joseph, in this process, is learning to trust God. Joseph is learning to be a righteous man when it's not easy to be a righteous man. And we read in this story that Joseph surrenders to God. He obeys God's word, and he agrees to marry Mary. It's interesting that in this story that Joseph never says a single word. We never hear a word come from Joseph's lips. We only see his actions. And we see in his actions a man who has surrendered his life to God and is going to follow God wherever he says, and whatever God says to do, Joseph is going to do. Consider Mary. When she hears the news from an angel, and we read this in the Gospel of Luke, her response at the end is, "May it be to me as you have said." In her fear and in her pain, in spite of all of the things that must have been going through her own mind about what she was about to face, she surrenders to God. Mary had plenty of fear, plenty of reasons to fear, plenty of reasons to resist this message from the angel. She was incredibly vulnerable, a teenage girl, unmarried, her reputation and the well-being of her entire life at stake. But Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." There's this willingness here from Mary to put herself fully into God's hands, to surrender and to obey. May it be to me as you have said. As you continue on in the Gospel of Luke, Mary has this meeting with her cousin Elizabeth, and in that meeting, she sings this song that I would like to read for you. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And just listen here to the character of God that Mary trusts in. This is why Mary is willing to surrender and to put herself into God's hand. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is a description of the character of God as Mary understands it. For Mary, this is where she places her hope. God is her Savior. He is the Mighty One. He is holy. He is merciful, and he extends grace. He is powerful and has performed mighty deeds. He pays attention to the lowly and to the humble, and God remembers his promises. She trusts in the character of God. Like Joseph, Mary was going to have to face the shame of her pregnancy, was going to have to tell the stories and endure the looks. And then Mary had to take this incredibly difficult journey to Bethlehem while she was still 9 months pregnant. They leave family and friends, and they take a 100-mile journey alone to Bethlehem. And they arrive in Bethlehem, and they bump up against this "there is no room in the inn" problem. And then Mary goes into labor. So Mary and Joseph alone while Mary is in labor. I've been in the delivery room with all four of my kids, and I was very useless while I was there. I know that all Katie wanted was to feel safe and protected while she was giving birth to our kids, so we can only imagine the fear and the loneliness that Joseph and Mary must have been experiencing. And Mary gives birth to a son, and it wasn't 2020, so there were no epidurals, no doctors, and no midwives around. God shows up in Joseph and Mary's life, and it caused a whole lot of disruption and a whole lot of trouble. But Joseph and Mary surrendered to God, and they were obedient to him. And because of that, they got to be used by him in ways that you and I benefit from 2,000 years later. Responding to the word of God, acting in obedience in this story, was really hard for Joseph and Mary. But both Joseph and Mary offer to us a model, an example of surrender and obedience to God. Because Mary and Joseph's focus was on God, not on the disruption. They surrendered to him and his plans and his purposes in their life when it was not easy to do. God was up to a good work in their life and in the world, and they trusted him. They trusted his character and his promises, and they walked in surrender and obedience because their focus was on God and not on the disruption. Friends, all of us were minding our own business, and then 2020 happened. It's been a disruptive year, and I don't need to list all of the things. You know them well. And here we are, all of us, as a part of this congregation. We're pretty normal people like Joseph and Mary, minding our business, and then this year happened, and our lives were disrupted significantly. And so the question that I have to ask us today is this: has your focus been on the disruption, or has it been on God? Where is your attention right now? Where have you spent your time? Where have you gone with your worry? What voices are you allowing to shape your heart and your mind as you consider the things that are happening in our world? What has your attention? Or does he have your attention? When our focus is on God rather than on the disruption, we can begin to ask, God, what are you doing here? Where are you at work in my life? What are you calling me to? We can begin to listen to the quiet voice of God in our pain and in our trouble, and then respond in faith, like Joseph and Mary did. We can begin to hear what he has to say about our circumstances and about our life, about what's happening in our world. We can begin to surrender to him and to his will for us. I am as guilty as anyone at focusing on the disruption rather than on God. Throughout this year and day to day and different seasons and moment to moment, I've wavered from one to the other. But in spite of my own wavering and my loss of attention to God at times, I know that God has not lost his attention on me. God has not lost his attention on you. He's not lost his attention on us. He's not lost his attention on our world. He is mindful of the humble state of his servant, Mary said. He is at work. And we're learning this year, if we didn't know it before, that God's first priority is not to keep us from pain. His first priority is to teach us to trust him in our pain. He's at work. He is moving in our world and in the pain and the disruption that we are experiencing in our lives, and he wants to bring his peace that surpasses all understanding. So do not be afraid, friends. The God of Mary and Joseph is here. The God of Mary and Joseph is here. He's at work in you. He's at work in us as a church. And he will bring about his purposes in our world
and in our life.
So, like Mary and Joseph, will you give your attention and your focus completely to Him? Will you, like Mary, surrender to Him and say, "May it be to me as you say"? Lord, we acknowledge and recognize and see the struggle and pain that we are facing, that each of us individually in our own lives are facing, the struggles and disruption in our world that we see each day. You see it all that better than us. You know the trouble of our world way better than us. And so teach us to focus on you and to trust you, to believe like Mary did that you are in control and that you're powerful and that you keep your promises. God, I pray that this would be a season where we learn to trust you. That because it's not your goal, your first priority to keep us from pain, that it wouldn't be our first priority to avoid the pain. But be willing to look at it and to walk through it together with you. And that through that you would teach us like you taught Joseph and Mary to trust you. Lord, keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. And in this, make us ready for what you have for us. In Christ's name, amen.